The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 8th of February 2017. And go out to motivationmuscle.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle and the 30-day program. They're both free ebooks. You just have to leave your email address and away you go. One that'll make you think, the other one that'll make you take action. Obviously, too, if you go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast, we've probably got, if not, we've got one of the deepest vaults of information in there. There's over 650 podcasts I know of already, and that's a little over 2 years. Where we go from there, we will see. I'd like to triple them this year, but it's probably not going to happen due to just time constraints. And to be honest with you, we've had some people here that haven't showed up and things of that nature. So right now, I'm being very, very picky who's coming on the show. And if you've been paying attention, I've been doing a lot of shows on my own, mainly because of time constraints once again. But I want to put out the best product I can. And if you don't have people you can rely on that give you their word, it goes back to everything we talk about here. I can't do that, and I won't do that to myself or all of our family of listeners. So there's a lot of things that when you have a business or you're involved with people, be very careful of who you enter into contracts with, because like anything, it can blow up right in your face. So that's just a little bit of word for everybody out there. Before I bring our good friend Frank Dellenthal on today, we're going to talk about, number one, one of my favorite things for sure. We're going to talk about stones and kettlebells, but I'm going to read an excerpt that I've been reading quite a bit here, and this is going to basically strike another chord with people. And obviously, it's called The Opinions of Others, A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections, On and Off the Court, Wooden, Coach John Wooden, with Steve Jamison. Goes like this: do not become too concerned about what others may think of you. Be very concerned about what you think of yourself. That is so important. So important. No matter what happens around you, no matter what is going on, always have pride in yourself and everything you do. If you've been paying attention to what's going on in the whole country and the world right now, I could do 10 shows on everything, and I'd probably get in trouble with what's really on my mind with all that. But I will tell you this. I've never seen so many pansies in my life. And I'll leave it at that. But I got Adam Glass on tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if we wail a show like that, because these are things that people need to hear. And with you having kids and everything else going on, what are you teaching? What are you telling them? I mean, it's very important, and we'll get into that more, but it's really under my skin right now, big time. But I'll continue here. Too often, we care more about a stranger's opinion of us than our own. So important. Your opinion of yourself begins on the inside with your character. What do you believe in, and are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. I'm going to read that again. It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. And as I always say at the end of the show, what my father always said to me, be a leader, not a follower. We need that more today than ever. And some people will disagree with me. I'll go to the mat with anybody on that. You want to do it? Let's step right up to the microphone. Let's roll. But that doesn't matter right now. It does matter, and we're going to get into this. And I'm going to bring Frank in momentarily, but I want to give you information on this gentleman. Number one, Frank's a stone lifter, steel bender, kettlebell competitor and trainer. And like I said, we're going to talk about stones and kettlebells and basically how we're going to mate them together and give you the best of both worlds. Frank, welcome back, my friend. Good to have you, sir, and Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you, Eric. It's an honor to be here. And because actually, I wouldn't lift stones if it was not for your show. So I totally blame you.
That's good, man. I hope it makes you live to 150 too. I know you saw the other day. Did you see the? I can't think of his name right off the bat. Did you see on Facebook the gentleman who had been lifting 35 years and he decided to get in the stones because of the show, and he built the cement Husafell and.
I just saw the picture of the cement Husafell, and I think he was doing a great work, and I think it was very clever how he arranged the steel, how do you call it, the steel, how did it, reinforcements?
Yeah, that's how we built it, with a wooden frame. Yep.
Yes, and I thought this was very clever, and I also told him that I thought this was very kind, because he showed also the sketches.
Yeah, the blueprint was right there. Real easy. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, something we got the best here, and the whole area with stones through the show, it's growing. Wait till you see, we've got Charlie Blair Oliphant coming on, and we've got James Graham at the end of this month too. Two of the most prolific stone lifters around.
And when we talk about them, I also want to talk about Martin Jancics, because he helped me a lot with handling stones.
Yep.
And he's a fantastic gentleman.
Yes, he is.
Really, really, really nice.
Yep.
And also Stevie Shanks, who got me into the...
But both of them are dynamite people. And that's what we're doing. You know, I've been talking to a lot of these gentlemen all over, and there's more and more of them that want to get involved with the show, and they realize that, you know, motivation is really starting to blaze a fire now with the stone lifting. And, you know, they've all had their little part, but now that we can get it all out on the air, we're getting more and more people interested, and they're talking about going to places like, you know, Iceland and Scotland. And you know, we're just waiting to see what happens with us financially this year. We already have that trip planned. Whether I run a trip for the audience here to join Martin and I, but Martin has extended to me a while back, if I would like to come to Scotland, he would take me on our own stone tour, and then we'd go to Wales, which a trip of a lifetime. But as we got talking about it, you know, he's never been to Iceland, and he'd like to lift the Husafell. So the plan would be, if it was just he and I or everybody, we'd all meet in Iceland and go from there. You know, that's a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Bill Crawford not that long ago, which has really got my interest peaked, because Martin's going to be here the end of the month in New Hampshire, I believe, to meet Bill with a bunch of stuff that's going on there, and we're hoping to get them both on the air.
And will you go to New Hampshire to see him?
I won't be able to, no. But I would love to. But here's the deal. Bill has found many new stones, historic stones in Iceland. So that's got my interest piqued, and I don't know any further. I haven't talked to him in about a month. I don't know if he's going to go over this year and lift them. I would assume, knowing Bill, he probably will. I would be very interested in it. And I also told Martin, I really would like to get back to Latra, because that's where I tore my bicep. And I'd like to get those three stones, and I didn't get a chance to go down below. The Judas stone is there and the Column stone. So there's a lot of stuff going on here. But I'm not saying we're going more and more towards stones. I mean, we do a vast array of everything, and we always will. But stones are definitely a big focal point. I have two projects in the works right now that are going to be released probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, and wait till you see what this one program is. It'll blow your mind. It is relegated to a lot. Well, I'll give everybody a hint. The name of the program is called Etched in Stone. So you can draw your own conclusions. But go ahead, Frank.
What I love about Stones is that it just can't not get any more basic.
No.
And you find Stones nearly everywhere.
Yep.
And funny thing is, we do not have a Stone culture like this in Scotland.
Right.
Yeah, so in Germany, I do not know if there are historic Stones or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are, they're certainly not, the knowledge is not widespread.
Correct.
And you have in Bavaria, you have this stone lifting, but this is more they go on a kind of stage.
Yep.
And then you go with one finger into a kind of notch.
Yep.
And lift a heavy stone or concrete block. This is what they have there. But the stone lifting like you do, yep, or Martin, I actually do not know. But the thing is, here you drive around the countryside, find, yep, a nice stone, just, yep, lift it in your car.
Yep.
Hopefully you do not break it.
Yeah, exactly. Or either that, or like we always say, we go on this private property out in the middle of nowhere and get them. It was a stone wall. It's posted. We're just like, I hope we can duck the first bullet that's being shot at us and get the hell out of here, you know?
Oh, yeah. This is nice in Germany, yeah?
Yeah.
Guns are not widespread.
Right.
So the chance of you being shot by someone is relatively low.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one thing about Stones, and then we'll get obviously in a little bit of the kettlebell end of it. I'll tell you what, Stones are, you know, this is how I always do a lot of stuff. Now, if you've been paying attention to what I've been doing lately, my nephew Danny is 6. And he's got the genetics on both sides, there's no doubt about it. But like a 6-year-old, their attention span is not overly long. But he's been around this athletic environment since he could breathe. And every time I go over to my sister's house, or he comes here, he's always doing something with me. I just do it very innocently, where I'll say to him, and my niece too. My niece Maggie is 9. She is strong as you want to see a kid strong. I mean,
yes,
handstands, no problem. Wrestler's bridge, and if you've seen the size of her, there'd be no way you'd even say it. She is a peanut.
Oh, this is cool, but
yeah,
the thing is, I think this is very important because I think she was raised,
yep,
next to persons like you.
Yep.
And for us, it doesn't matter what color you have, what, yep, gender you are. You can be strong.
Yeah.
And they grow up with an example of someone who is strong and does stuff.
Yep.
For him, it's normal, and for other people, it's so. Last time I was rolling up a frying pan.
Yep.
And I was giving it to my daughter here. Look what Daddy did.
Yep.
And she was, oh, this is cool, but not like, oh, how did you do this? Yeah, because for her it's normal. If you want something and, yeah, if you really put your effort into it, you'll be able to do this.
I agree. But you know, it's funny with them. So when they'll come over, I'll say, you know, I got to go out in the back and I got to look at some stuff in the gym. Bang! I mean, they're like almost attached to me out the door. All right. They come, yes, out, I got a 15-inch tire, some bricks, they do some step-ups, they do some farmer carries, and they love to flip the tire. It's hilarious. And then I got them doing grip work, basic stuff. I have them squeeze the end of a picnic table. Now,
okay,
when you got little hands and you're going over the top and under, and I teach them how to do it, they're getting beneficial grip work. Okay, so now we fast forward a few months. Yeah, okay. Well, I do that myself. So I'll just lift it off the ground and hold it for time until my grip just snaps right off it. So now we fast forward it, and, of course, my brother-in-law's got weights down in the cellar and all that, so they're used to all that. And, you know, he's a big man, and he's a football coach and all that. So Danny gets a hold of some small weights, and he's like, I want to show you something. I'm like, show me. So, you know, he's picking them up. I said, man, you're strong. So I said, I want to teach you one thing to do. And he's right there. And he takes to it like, I just taught him how to basically deadlift off the ground with him. Simple yes. things that they have no trouble even digesting. And he's doing perfect form. So we're over yes. there. We're over there for my niece's birthday a couple weeks ago. And man, oh man, doesn't... I hear all this noise, like, coming from the cellar. Well, there he is with a half a bag of rock salt, dragging it all the way up the stairs into the kitchen where we're all standing. And he said, they all call me Uncle H. Uncle H, look how strong I am. And it was pretty impressive because I don't know how heavy it was, but he had that by the top and he was dragging it all the way, all right? So I'm like, okay, now the light went off in my head, and I folded it over for him. And taught him how to straddle it and lift it. Okay, now he's having a good time. So now I get the idea. I said, I'm going to build him two sandbags. So last weekend, I built him an 8-pounder and a 12-pounder for a total of 20. And I did him just the way I do them myself. I put him in a garbage bag, you know, duct taped him super tight, put him in burlap, same thing. I mean, I don't care if it's 8 pounds or not, man. If I threw that at you and hit you in the head, it'd knock you the hell out if it didn't kill you. I mean, it's just so tight and robust feeling. Well, I bring him over. Guess yeah. what? He's doing them now. So my sister sends me a video the other night. Hilarious, too. They're all down the cellar. Well, it was Maggie, my sister, and Dan. And the dog, of course. And Danny's got the 12-pounder. He knows how to lift it now. Dan's talking to him. So he does like a little loop in the cellar and comes back. And doesn't he jump on a trampoline with it? And I'm like, what? And they're laughing because it's funny. So he's jumping up and down this thing. Of course, he's starting to lose the grip, right? It yeah. hits the thing. And if you could hear him say it, and I got to talk to her before I could even put the video up. He goes like this, oh, shucks, like that. And it's hilarious, man. But the point of the matter I'm trying to make here, you know, you got to start with something. Most people are not going to have access, especially kids, to smaller stones unless they have, you know, a father like Frank or an uncle like Frank or an uncle like Eric, okay?
And I have a good idea because yeah. What is difficult with the stone lifting that you have to reach far.
Yes.
And if you pack a small bag, yep. it's relatively tiny and easy to grab.
Yes.
What I found out that I have a 9-kilogram medicine ball.
Okay.
And when my daughter lifts it, yep. she has to lift it like a stone.
Correct. Correct.
And so this is a good way to how I say it, pump up the volume.
Absolutely. And you know the nice thing with that medicine ball, Frank, you can really get them right into the whole context of stones because once you teach yes. them to lift that and then lap the stone and stand up, guess what? You know, and I'll tell you another thing, which is real interesting. I do this to him every time I see him. Now, Danny will be 7 this year, and I say to him every time, Danny, when you're 13, you're going to deadlift 500 pounds. Now, do I know if he's going to keep doing this? No, and I don't push him. But if he goes with the way both sides of the family are, he's going to be a big kid. And don't let anybody kid you. You keep telling a young kid that, it doesn't matter how old you are, but especially a very impressionable child that loves and respects you. Yes. Can you imagine that at 13 years old because how he's been training and I've been just driving that through his head in a way that he doesn't even know probably right now what I'm even talking about? I mean, you think about that. And I'll say one more thing. I'll send it right back to you. Maggie, who's the youngest girl out of the four, who her and Danny are tight like thieves. It's hilarious. When we were all there for Thanksgiving, they all put little notes on everybody's plate to where they're going to sit. And I've got this right on my picture frame here in my office, and I look at it every day among all the pictures of the kids. It says like this, Uncle H, I'm thankful for you because you teach me how to be strong. Now, a little kid already realizes this. They draw me pictures of the Hulk, of like big, strong German shepherds, because Maggie's very good in art. I'm very humbled and honored to know that they think of me like that. And it's an example, like you were saying, because, you know, in today's world especially, you can never be obviously foolproof with any child. We know that things happen. But boy, oh boy, they got a heck of a better start to not be led around by other people and to be able to stand out and stand for something. And I know they're young, but I'll tell you, kids are so sharp, and I love to talk to them, especially watch them work, because there's nobody ever telling them that they can't do it, and they get right down to business. And I just think it's very important, and I believe stones, sandbags, and obviously we'll talk about kettlebells right now. I'll go back to you, Frank. If I get, you know, because there's not any issue with the three of us working together with Danny.
Yeah.
If I get my way this summer, I mean, if he's really going with it, he'll be handling a 25-pound sandbag at 7 years old.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So go ahead.
If he's progressing slowly,
yep.
And for example, with my daughter, if she wants to deadlift a heavy weight,
yep.
This is a reward.
Yeah.
She has to show that she's really concentrating, really good form. And she has to be nice, and she has to have her homework done, and everything has to be perfect.
Yep.
And then she is allowed to try.
Yes. Yep.
Go
ahead.
So be careful that because I do not want to have her deadlift.
No.
When no one is around, and if she just does it to show off.
Yeah.
And then she's not paying attention, or if there's a mirror or something.
I agree.
You have to be careful, especially with girls, if the mirror is there. Yeah.
Yes.
So I step in front of the mirror and say,
yep.
Okay, no?
Then yep.
It's just ugly daddy. Yeah? Just
yep.
Watch your form
yep.
And just do your stuff.
Well, you're right on the money. And he's been told by me before we even started doing this that he is not to go down and touch that stuff unless his mom, his dad, or I are there. And he
yeah.
understands that, and that's a big thing right there, because the last thing you want to do is see a little kid get hurt. I don't want any of that.
No,
that's
no.
not the idea here. What we're doing here is tweaking him, and just like your daughter, to get better. And I'm
yes.
telling you right now, you know, this is what amazes me about what we do. And you and I both know we can take just about anything we do and bring it down to whatever level we have to coach somebody with. And I think that's such – I think that's the beauty of what we do with lifting and stones and kettlebells and everything else included. There's no sport out there, in my opinion, that delivers like that, and you can take and drill down the way we can. And, you know, and this is what I'm going to ask you here.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it today, with all the information we got, because I love asking everybody this stuff, especially you and I do a lot of the same stuff, though you do a lot more grip and bending, which I hope someday I'm going to be able to get into, but there's too many stones and everything else right now, so you got to pick your poison, so to speak. With all the information we got, and we know a lot of it out there is fake, you know, with Facebook, I don't even call it Facebook anymore, and of course, you know, videos and you get a lot of people that are not good trainers, but they have good marketing people and they all look pretty and blah, blah, blah. Go ahead.
I just want to say marketing is important. You can
yeah.
be very good, but if you have to earn money with it,
yep.
You have to do some kind of marketing.
Yeah.
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 You can be a great trainer. If nobody knows, you will not be booked.
Exactly.
So you have to find a good way and an honest way to say, hey, I can make you strong and no bullshit. There are a lot of good trainers. If you like my way, come, let's see if we get along. And if not, don't worry about it.
Yeah, 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 right. But you know, this is the question now. With all the information we got, why is it still so many people are either on the fence or they just look at it and say, eh, you know, another time. What is it? Is it? Do you think it's late? Is it? Go ahead.
No. For really training and to
yeah.
better yourself,
yep.
you have to step out of your comfort zone and step out into the cold.
I agree.
Huh?
I agree.
Or into the heat or whatever it is.
Yep.
But if you're feeling comfortable, what are you doing right now? And everything just could go on there. most probably you're not training hard enough or not the right way.
I agree. You know the thing. You know the thing is too, Frank. But this is my opinion in a lot of ways. You're right. If you're in a comfort zone all the time, but I believe that right now the way we are, I think life. And don't get me wrong, some of it is very beneficial and good. We all want to make improvements with everything we work at or do. But on the flip side of things, you really don't have to work that hard to do a lot of things out there, in my opinion. You know, most people are minimalists, so they will do the very least to get to what they got to get, and no one's going to probably really push on them. But this is what I think is the most tragic thing. I was talking to my mother about this last night, and I'll go just with exercise. Mm-hmm. Why is it we got to wait? And I want everybody to pay attention to this because this is very important. Why is it we have to wait till we go and see a doctor and he says to us, you got 3 months to live, or you have diabetes, or you have a combination of that, heart disease, and you name it, okay, fatty liver, things that are real dangerous that can kill you. Mm. Now, oh my God, I'm in a panic. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I got to lose 100 pounds or whatever I got to do. I've got to change my mental thinking. Tell me, why is it we have to, and I'm not saying everybody, I'll say the majority, though, why do we have to wait for the nail almost in the coffin to make us move, in your opinion?
Very simple, because they never learned how good it feels to step out of the comfort zone, to get in a place where you barely survive, where it's harsh, and it takes some time to adapt to it and to make this evil, bad place your comfort zone. And then you tell yourself, hey, what the heck? Hell is not that bad.
Right.
So, yes, so you have to experience how it is to grow. And I do not know if this translates into English. We have a saying in German or a proverb, growing over yourself, this kind of enlarging yourself physically, yep, spiritually, becoming more, becoming better. And if you never experienced that, there's really no way how you can imagine that going out in the cold, as a metaphor of working very hard, will enrich your life, and which seems at first to be impossible, comes usual with the right timing and long training.
Yep. No, I agree totally. And I'll tell you what, like tonight I got to train. Tonight's going to be dead stop tri quad squats, and I'm going to be doing dead stop rear squats with the buffalo bar. I'm probably going to do some overloads on the spine. Going to be doing some Husa steel. I don't know if I'm going to be doing walks. It depends how much stuff is coming down, how slippery it is. But I will be standing outside taking 185-pound Husa steel and just cleaning it multiple times and standing up with it, practicing my speed. As I figure it, with the load I'm going to put on my spine just with those two forms of squats, I'm going to only have so much in me. And I might even, when I train Dennis on Sunday, I might train him. Frank DeMeo and a lot of people have been asking me to demonstrate the tri-quad dead stop squat, which I'd like to do for him. It'll be in the next couple weeks. Plus, I'm going to probably start doing, I might do a few things I've never introduced to the stone lifters out there with the Husa steels. Potentially, you might even have all three of them going. I don't know yet, because, you know, I'm doing a lot of different things with, like, statically lifting them heavier and heavier, and right now I've been concentrating on that and not so much the explosion off the ground. But as I say, the way I can do them, we can do them at any weight, any height, any way we want to do them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and that's the luxury of everything, Frank. You know, I get stuff from people all the time, you know, why aren't you putting anything out and all this stuff, and I'm like, It takes a lot of time and it's a lot of money right now to do that. And nothing against everybody, but everybody wants to just say, hey, give it to me. And it's like, I can't do that right now. It's like I give a lot of content out, and I always will. But yeah. this stuff here is the stuff we do here, I've never seen anybody do with a stone. Never.
Yes.
And I've worked very hard and very diligently for the last 9 years constructing these programs. I mean, if anybody watched some of the video like last week with Dennis, what I had him doing with the heavy and the light and the heavy and the light and, you know, the sandbag step up to warm up and going in all these sequences that work the body in a capacity that, you know, you see some people doing this stuff, but not a lot with stones. Most people are just going to try to pick up the biggest stone. They make it great. If they fail, well, I'll get it next time. Yeah, that's okay. But if you're not, you know, this is the thing. You and I have talked about this on multiple shows and offline. Yep. If you don't have the base, my friend, where are you going? Where are you going?
No. Yeah. No. It's the same. A student was asking, she was asked by a friend, she wanted to get a barbell to do squats and deadlifts.
Yep.
And she was asking me which barbell should I get, and I was like, okay, if she gets a barbell to do squats and deadlifts, she knows that she would also need a rack to do it safely at home. And does she? How good is her form? Is she is she willing to do this? And also, is she willing to give up the space in her apartment for a power rack? I mean, I like a power rack as a living room equipment, but most girls will not do this.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife would kill me.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, something as a guy, you know, my buddy, I think I told you before, he's married right by his coffee, well, by his fireplace. He's got a Thomas Inch dumbbell sitting right there.
Thomas Inch dumbbell is really, I mean, it's nice, it's a beautiful shape.
Yep.
So I think it's easier to get, no objection against a Thomas Inch dumbbell than from your wife than sure. to a power rack.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
Or maybe
totally.
He was just very clever. He says, darling, please tell me, what should I do for our living room? Shall I get a power rack?
Yep.
Yeah, and then you see her hair just turns up.
Yeah, absolutely.
or a Thomas Inch dumbbell. And very easy, she will say, Thomas Inch dumbbell.
Absolutely.
And then, thank you, darling. I love you so much.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm going to speak to the gentleman today. We might have found an equipment company that's about 2 hours from me. And I'm going to talk to him about, he already makes a Hoosa steel stone. But he's a small operation. He is the main welder, and he puts out some really good looking stuff. And I'm going to talk to him hopefully today and see if he'll do a prototype of my stone. And I'm also have a design of a power rack I want to show him. That's very simple, very strong and brutish. And, you know, I don't know about the stone. That would be the first priority. But I can tell you there's two priorities I'd like to have on FBC site. And that would be, you know, to deal a power rack and the Hoosa steel. So that's stuff we're looking at right now, too, because especially with the way I plan on going a lot with the stones here and et cetera, et cetera. If I could have somebody that would build these things and drop ship them to any of the people on the show or the family that would like one, that would be a great thing because it's very hard to find good,
equipment, solid equipment.
Good solid equipment, and good, I want to say fabricators. And I mean real.
And
right.
also was looking around with power racks.
Yeah.
And so there was a special offer, very, very cheap.
Yep.
And but it was just specified, I think, for 250 kilos or 300 kilos.
Yeah.
So normally, so for a beginner, don't worry about it. This is okay. It's relatively cheap, and it will secure you
Right.
But once you got a bit stronger, then you really like, okay, I want to do partials. And if I do partials,
the thing's going to, thing might bend in half on me, you know? So, no, and you know, the thing, I'm just to let everybody know, I think I said it on the show. If I didn't, I'll say it today. I'm in the process right now of writing a pretty deep thought out Power Rack article. And three of the people that I've done some Power Rack work with, you know, helped them with, are all going to add a line or two to it and let you know what their feelings are. But it's not only going to be the Power Rack training. I am writing an article with the Power Rack about dead stop squatting. And I think I called it, could this be the argument for the greatest exercise ever that no one knows about?
It's a great exercise.
Yep. Well, especially when you're coming. Go ahead.
I was training with a friend at some time ago, and he was doing kung fu.
Yeah. Okay.
And when he was doing sparring with his trainer, he was always kicked in the leg, and he tumbled over.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could not stand that.
Yep.
And so he was training with me, and we are doing heavy squats.
Yep.
And then I introduced holds. So he was going down halfway.
Yep.
And then hold for two breaths.
Yep.
Going completely down, as far down as it goes. Hold for a short time, going up again to the middle of the way.
Yep.
Hold two breaths, going up again.
That's
he
awesome.
Was so much hating me.
Oh, yeah.
He was so much hating me. But after 2 months, the trainer stopped kicking in his legs.
Yeah.
And he was asking, why? It's no use anymore.
Yeah.
So why should I kick on your leg?
Right. Because now you've built such strength and power in there. That's what we're doing with Dr. Jeffrey Smith. You know, I doubled his dead stop squat last year to 305. Well, now we're on a progression to hit 405 the end of September this year. Do you realize that would be over, I'm trying to think, he started, is that 105? That would be like a 205-pound gain. In your dead, and you know, we're not talking rebound squat, folks. We're talking dead stop parallel off the rods. I mean, and we're already, I just set him up a 4-week program. The goal now, I'm going to start tacking on him a little bit and seeing how much he can take. He'll be, by the end of the month, he'll go for a record of 315. That would be a 10-pound gain from just September. And I know many ways I'm going to tweak that dead stop squat with him. And my goal is to have him by June, by the latest, with already a 350. So then we've got to get up 55 more pounds. And the way I'll set it up, he should have no trouble. If he misses, it won't be long after that he gets it. Because, you know, you're doing things structurally correct with people. And you know how to take them up. It's just like the stones. You bring them up high, then you bring them down for a while. And then train, obviously, like you're doing with that gentleman. You know, you're hitting three angles with them. And it really makes a difference. And you train those pathways to be so explosive, fast, and strong that unless they are having an off day mentally, they shouldn't fail very often. And this can happen. But you know something? I know we've got only so much time. I want to get into the kettlebell. Yeah, say whatever you want.
just two things.
Yeah.
You can use this with the stopping at the position. Mm-hmm. Very good if you are in between weights.
Yep.
So if the one is too heavy and the other one he's just doing normally.
Yeah.
So you expand the time and so you just kind of get over that time.
Right.
Better.
Right.
So this is very good. And the second one is I advise the girlfriend of my student to just take a sandbag.
Yeah.
It does not take too much space.
Yep.
And she can do the same things and she can also do loaded carries with it. And so so we are having again a little bit stone lifting and sandbags.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now let's get
kettlebells.
I mean we got some time. So let's hit kettlebells now.
Okay. I love kettlebells.
Yep.
The thing is, I was hurting my shoulder very bad with, bad function over with a lot of weight over a longer time. And so I was hurting my shoulder very, very bad. And I was It took me 1 year with the 12-kilo kettlebell to recover my shoulder a bit. And over the time, this is the best thing that happened to me, because then I learned to move better and pay more attention to it, to pay more attention to the movement and not just to be blinded by the weight. And this is a good way to stay healthy.
Yep, yep. I agree. Go ahead.
And so all what I'm doing right now with the feats of strength, and also with the stone lifting, the base strength that I developed comes from kettlebell training, because these are compound movements.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of isolational movements.
Nope.
Because I think you, how to say it, you do not, with isolational movements, you do not learn to move your body as a unit.
Right.
And for everything which you do in real life, you have to move as a unit,
yep.
as one unit. And so I'm very, very fond of kettlebell movements. And I find the same thing also in stone lifting.
Yep.
You cannot have weak legs, then you cannot lift the stones. You cannot have weak hands, then you cannot lift the stones. And you find the same thing with the kettlebell. And what I like about stones, that you can really go deep and grind and go really heavy.
Yep.
Which you can do also with the kettlebell. For example, Turkish get up, excellent movement, especially for spine and shoulder, great mobility and strength exercise. But this is a grind, the same as squats. So what you have on squat variations, goblet squats, single kettlebell squat, double kettlebell squats. But what you do not have with the stone lifting is the ballistic speed movements, like a swing, clean, snatch. So this is the reason why I think there's a great addition if you do both.
Yep. Let me ask you this. Let's talk about. Let's go with somebody that hasn't done a lot of kettlebell work. And let's just talk about something.
Okay, I'm very, very okay. If you want to go with a kettlebell, get a proficient teacher.
Okay.
Who really loves kettlebell and who trains kettlebell on a regular basis.
Okay.
And which is part of their life.
Okay.
It's the same thing as if you could go to a doctor and ask him about a healthy lifestyle, and he sits there being obese,
yeah,
sweating,
yep,
drinking a Coke and having a smoke.
Exactly. Exactly. My question is this. Say we are stone lifting and we're doing other stuff, but let's just say we'd like to concentrate on some stone lifting and kettlebells for a month. Let's just specialize on it. And we don't have a ton of experience, but we have done some kettlebell work. Would a good movement be to concentrate on swings and stones? Would that be something you'd recommend, Frank?
Okay, first you should, especially with kettlebells, you should only do the exercises that you are proficient in.
Gotcha.
If you want to take up another exercise and you're not proficient in, it is not a shame if you search as teacher and let yourself teach the movements properly.
Okay.
And then implement it.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to drive, if you want to buy a car, it's not bad practice to learn how to drive and to have a driver's license.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
And here in Germany, it's even a better example, because you have to go to school to drive a car, and which is very, very expensive here.
Okay.
So to get a driver's license would be something. It would be something, say, $1,300 plus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And if you do not do it properly, you just fail, and then you have to spend more and more money.
Wow.
And if you fail two or three times in a row, then you have to the next attempt has to be 3 years later or something. So you better pay attention to what you're doing when you're driving a car.
Sure.
But no speed limit on the Autobahn.
Yep, which is beautiful. That's a beauty right there.
Oh, yeah. If you can go with full speed, yes. But still, this means you're able to drive very fast.
Yep.
I mean, you're allowed to drive very fast, but you have to be, how do you say it, in charge and in control. You're like a captain on the ship. You have the responsibility,
yep.
And not just for your fast car, but also the other cars who drive there around.
Yep.
So if the Autobahn is too full, you just be slow like everybody else. But if it's free, hey!
Yeah, good time. Yeah, good times for sure. So you do feel, though, the benefits of kettlebell work would really translate over into our stone lifting?
Yes, and I think also you have the kettlebell has some benefits.
Okay.
That the stone lifting does not have that much.
Okay.
Because you get a different kind of explosiveness.
Okay. Okay. Well, and look at you and I both know to move a stone off the ground, you got to have lots of explosion.
Yes.
And if you don't have that, you know, this is a thing I try to tell people. You can have the best deadlift in the world. You can be somewhat explosive, but if you don't have the hands, the handhold, the fingers, the wrist, the fingers are probably the most important thing that you could ever own to lift a stone. But I'll tell you what, just because you can do those things does not equate to being a good stone lifter, because most people, myself included, failed miserably, especially with Atlas stones and stuff like that, in the very beginning. And the thing is, you have to be very attentive to what you're doing. And obviously, if you want to succeed, you better plan on failing a million more times than succeeding. And this is why I think this is my opinion. I know we're almost at time, and I'll have you in a moment summarize. I'll tell you this, and this could be a whole nother show the next time with us. I think the reason why a lot of this stuff has got an unfair rap on it is, number one, there's not enough information still out there. I mean, Martin, you can go out to Frank, I'm sure. Do you got stuff out? Do you have a YouTube channel?
I do have a YouTube channel, and I there's also the videos out.
That's what I was going to ask you.
I mean, for most people, this is just boring as a word I'm not allowed to say here.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But I just wanted to show how I do. Stone lifting and kettlebells.
Yeah. Well, that's
And also, I wanted to show it's no great camera angles or what. It's just an older gentleman huffing and puffing and trying to do his things and having fun while doing it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad you got it out there, because now everybody knows they can go out and check it out. But that's what I was just going to get down to is this. You know, I still think there's not enough information, there's not enough video, there's not enough product out there about this, because for anybody that's never done it or has a young kid that wants to play sports, I'll tell you right now, you can get them into the kettlebells, you get them into the stones. I'm telling you, stones and sandbags, in my opinion, there's three movements we do here that I feel, as I used to say back when I'd read old magazines, if you want to get bigger, they used to say you'll put weight on a rake handle. Think about that for a second. Now, we do three movements here that are absolutely vicious with sandbags. Number one are step-ups. And if you watch the last video, and you're going to see it big time this weekend, is the way we're pulling sandbags in and out of the bag we got. So you could start with a 50, next thing you know you're at a 70, then you're at 100, then you're at 130, then you're at 150. And I won't let Dennis take too much rest, and he's in not good shape, but he picked up a lot last week. You train like that, and then we go to one which is the absolute beast after you've done that, and that's a straddle lift with the bag, and you got to bring it to the right shoulder, put it down on the ground, stop it, go to left shoulder. I don't care how good a shape you're in, that will break you right to your knees. And then last but not least, we make you walk. And bear hugging and walking are like one of the most intense things you can ever do. I've got another movement I'm going to introduce which I'm not going to say, but you're going to see that coming up. You might see it come up this weekend.
Okay.
With the Hoos of Steel and a sandbag. And when you see this, I know Frank will appreciate this. This will blow your mind because I do these. This is my own preference. I don't know if I invented it or what. I do these to get ready for some serious, serious stone lifting. And what you'll see this weekend is not even the whole program I do. I will tell you this. I know Frank's in killer shape. And I know I am at times, but I'm going to tell you, even in killer shape, this thing will bust you right down to your knees, literally, the first few times. And it'll do it even more, but we'll get into that more. Frank, obviously a killer show. Give out, you know, summarize anything you want. Give out all your information. I'll give mine, and we'll get ready for next month, if you would, please.
Okay, if you start with kits, take sandbags or medicine balls, something like this. Great carryover for kids, and not that much risk that they hurt themselves.
Right.
For kettlebell movements, you need to invest more time to really get the feeling of it. It's a little bit like a woman. She wants to be understood.
Yep.
And... But with kettlebells, it's kind of easier. You got your movements, and when you got the movements, you can train with every kettlebell. And the kettlebells do not vary that very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you get a 24-kilo kettlebell, it does not matter because it has 24 kilograms, and then you can start. Okay, I prefer a certain brand with kettlebells.
Yep.
But basically, if you got two 24-kilogram kettlebells of the same brand, doesn't matter which one you take.
Yep.
But with stones, it's a different thing. Because with stones, every stone has its own personality. And every stone wants to be understood. And you better pay attention. Yeah, I do not know if I made a mistake. Because the hardest stone that I lift is... Yep. 58 kilograms.
Okay.
And which is not very much, but the shape, it's really hard work to pick it up.
I agree.
Yeah. So because the shape is odd, it's an odd handle, so you really have to invest your time to get to learn to know the stone.
Yeah.
So what most people do not do with another person nowadays, take the time to learn another person.
There you go.
No, you have to do with an odd object.
Yep. Here, oh, I agree.
And I think this is also the beauty in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the beauty is not having the easy way, but to have a thoughtful way.
Mm-hmm.
And so this may be also the reason why I love to shave with a straight razor.
Yeah.
Better not rush that one.
No. We don't want to do that. Cut your own damn throat. That's the whole thing. But you know something, and I'll get right back to you. You hit it right on the head. We can equate it with relationships and stones. It's the same thing. You got to get to know it. You got to get to learn it. And
yep.
You know, as Steve Jex says, you know, stones, you know, like the Husafel, putting your arms around it just like a good woman is just like meeting eternity, and you're going to lift it for eternity. I'll tell you right now, you can gather and learn an awful lot of stones. It'll teach you about relationships where nobody can teach you. All these phony people that want to throw you on a leather couch and try to find out what was it that did this. I got news for you. I said this before. You want therapy? If that's what you want, go out and learn how to lift a stone. Heavy sandbag. Go out with people that are just like, as they say, berserker. Go out and be that. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll discover who the hell you are real quick, and you won't need some weak pencil neck, you know, sweaty palm, never worked in their life guy or gal to tell you what's wrong with you. So I'll leave it at that. Frank, finish everything off, and I'll finish mine off.
Oh, okay. One thing, I think some people who help psychiatrists, I think you call them,
yep.
They do a great job, and for some things, they are really good. But
yep.
For most, they are just too lazy to work, and to find a way to crawl out of their own shit.
Yeah.
On their own.
Yeah.
They rely on others to do this.
Yep.
And it's far more rewarding if you just get yourself together and just do it by yourself.
Yep.
If you do not know how, ask someone who's done it before. No problem.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
And the other thing is just enjoy creating. So, I mean, if you work out very hard,
yep.
If you learn something new, acquire new skills, this is also creating. And I think if you motivate people, you see, I'm not poetic. I can't play music. And if I sing in the shower, the tiles fall off the wall. Yeah. So I cannot be a person who gives something back in a poetic, lyrical way.
Yep.
My way to trying to do this is by empowering other people.
Yep.
To be stronger, to live more conscious, and just enjoy life.
Yep. Yep. I agree. I totally agree. You got anything else, Frank?
Oh, yes. If you want to get in contact with me, then just look around at kettlebell-club.de. And don't worry, though, the page is in German. I'm relatively okay with the English language. And you can also reach out on Facebook.
Awesome.
Yeah, so
okay.
You should be able to find me. So my name is also not that common. So
no, but it's easy to pronounce, you know. And obviously, there's only one Frank Delventhal out there. So
yes, I pronounce it a little bit different. I say Delventhal, but don't worry about it. So
okay, in German, Delventhal, is that how you say it?
Yeah, a little bit closer, yes.
Okay,
Delventhal. All right.
The
thing is that the TH is being spelled as T.
Okay.
Tal. And yes. So
well, that's interesting. So, okay. Well, I learned.
But I do not mind. So I know I got a relatively complicated name. So just go with Frank.
Gotcha. That's not a problem. All right. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I said, go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways, and obviously the 30-day program. They're both free ebooks. You can take those, and you can do some great things just with those two small ebooks. It's all there. It's very deep in content. Just give us your email address, and you know, you can always get a hold of me here at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com if you have any questions, and you can get a hold of me, obviously, through the website, through Motivation, or FBC. There, you can get a hold of me at multiple places, Facebook, the whole deal. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Just look at all the shows Frank and I have done in the last year. There is just a plethora of information. We'll have this show up tomorrow. You know, right there, you've got tons of information on stone lifting, philosophy, kettlebell work, things that we have experienced in our lives, obviously children. I just did a great podcast on my own the other day called Strong Kids, and I talk a lot about Danny and stuff. We are moving in more and more to that genre among everything else. That's one of the reasons we have really cleaned the language up around here, because I'm not saying kids haven't heard this stuff, but we are Strength Inc., in my opinion, and we can be very aggressive, thought-provoking, and putting it right to the floor without having to throw F-bombs and all the other stuff that everybody else seems to say. I just want to be distanced from all that, and I've had a couple people that play the show in their gym now and said to me, I would really appreciate if you would cool the language down, because he said, you've got such good content. You know, there's a lot of kids listening, and you look at their faces when they'll hear an F-bomb come. And I don't think we said it a lot, but we get very passionate here, and sometimes we unload. Well, now we're going to try to keep it to a minimum. And I want, like Frank and I were talking about, I want the kids coming up and everybody else to know that they can come here and get whatever they need too. So that's just a thing that's going on here. As you grow and mature and your audience demands some things, I'm not going to say they're going to get everything, but things like that can be switched off, no problem, because it doesn't take a lot of class to talk like that, all right? And I don't need any of that either. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what everybody's given us. We appreciate that. Also, don't forget, too, it's very expensive to run this show. And anybody that would like to contribute to the show, Frank has a number of times, and I appreciate that from Frank. I've thanked you, but I want to thank you on the air too, because I think it's very important to acknowledge people, especially when they really they're together with me and on the show. It's very important to me to say that to you.
I want to say something because I ask you, please support Eric with being a Patreon on the Patreon page.
Yep.
And don't worry about it. I know you do not really know. Eric is, with his shows, it's a little bit like a machine gun, yeah?
Yeah.
You just pull the trigger once and you do not really know how many bullets go out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah?
And so, but if you back him, yeah, then just do this on a say modest place, so yep, like $2, $3 a show.
Yep.
And once you do this, you can set up also a maximum,
yep,
number of how many shows you are willing to back.
Yep.
So don't worry about it. Just do your thing and then set up a maximum, because then you'll be not rolled over if he's just doing 100 shows a month.
Well, and that's the thing. And also, too, besides Patreon, you can go out to PayPal. And if you want to send something in there, it'll go right into my checking account, and you can get that at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. It's a lot of money to run this show, and as everybody knows, we are in a lot of transition right now. I'm not going to get into specifics, but this is some of the stuff I am going to really hit upon as we keep creating more income here. I am going to put out a book. And I don't know if it'll be an ebook or something through a podcast show, which will be very much in length. I am going to give you folks so many things that I've gone through with so many different people, and I can't stop every mistake from happening to you, but I can tell you this. I will make sure that you know enough, especially when you employ somebody to do a website or to do your marketing, where you won't get burned. And I have 5 questions I ask people, and I'm not going to give them out, but I'm going to tell you this right now. And I never say anything in an insulting manner to anybody, but I'm very firm and I'm very Italian with people. If you've dealt with real hardcore Italians, I'll tell you this. You can save yourself a lot of heartache. There's 5 questions I ask. If you're lucky, you might get past 3. If they're not, you might get up to 3 if they're not the real deal. Here's what happens. They'll hang up on you. They'll tell you they got to go, basically. They've got another line going. And the last but not least, and I won't give you the other 2, they'll say to you, I don't think I can do it. And by asking these 5 questions, I have saved myself in the last 2 months probably getting crushed the rest of the way. I'm going to put out an entrepreneur book like you wouldn't believe, and I hope it'll help everybody out there who's either working in it now and having problems. I'll even name the names of people that I do good business with if you want to reach out to them. But we're going to do that because it is so vital to keep yourself healthy with things like that, and especially people that want to go into entrepreneurship and don't know. I just don't want to see you get burned. And that's the only reason why I know what I know now, is because I started with nothing and had that background and was able to just complete thing after thing. But it's rode on my back most of the way. But we'll get into that more down the road. If there's a show you'd like Frank and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Don't forget, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say hello to them. obviously give them words of inspiration. We know 5 words can change your life forever. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or smile at them. You never know what they're going through that day, and that might be the only time anybody gives anybody some consideration, and that's a lot of that going around now. Also, too, like myself, tonight, if you're going to bend it, break it, twist it, turn it, squat, pull, press, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear-cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Obviously, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls, and as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning and who's been my guest a number of times, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for the next 28 years, brother, and I thank you for that compliment. Frank Klein, greatest college professor in business I ever had. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, I'll tell you, what a line here. Be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, by far one of the greatest men I've ever met. 2 words as he walked everybody to the door. John was a chiropractor. Keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself and not smile. I'm smiling right now. John was somebody everyone that listens to this show would have loved to meet. He was something else, man. John was so influential with me with the business, and I miss Friday afternoons with John like you would not believe. John was a father figure to me because my dad had passed away long before I met John. John would have been around the age of my father, and we're going to lose him 3 years this summer. He died of cancer, and I got to tell you, those three men were so prevalent in my life. I think about them and obviously my brother Jimmy every day of the week. And it could be hour after hour. Right now, my mom gave me a picture we're going to be using for the Eminem website. Wait till you see this tribute to Jimmy when you go in, because I want everybody to know what the basis of FBC and Motivation Muscle is. And if you haven't heard me talk about it, you're going to find out now. It'll put a lump in your throat when you see what we're putting up. It's incredible. And he deserves that. And I want everybody to draw strength from him. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. Join our family. Join our revolution. I promise you this will be the best 28 years of your life. Frank, thanks. Happy New Year, and it's a pleasure always to work with you, sir.
Thank you, Eric. I just want to interject. Have one thing just occur to me.
Yeah.
When your father told you, be a leader and not a follower.
Yep.
Even if you are not into a position right at the moment to lead, it can very well be that the person who was leading happens something to him.
Sure.
And then you have to be able to pick up a spot. You just cannot just let that go to waste.
Yep.
So even when you're in a good position that you have a good leader or a good chef,
yep,
it may can happen something to him.
Yep.
And then you have to be able to go to his positions and pick up his work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees.
Understands this in the military, but this is also in personal and business life the case.
Yep.
So if you are not a boss right at the moment, you can have the function the very next moment if something bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
So don't relax, get out of your comfort zone, and be prepared to lead.
I agree. I'll tell you what, Frank, and you know, we build winners here. We build winners here. And,
I hope so.
Well,
we need them everywhere.
Yes, we do.
We do not need just in America. We need them in Europe.
Yep.
And the world is getting it close to space. I think we just cannot go and just say, I'm this country, you are that country. This does not really work anymore, if you're honest.
No, it's not. And not only that, we come from a little bit, you know, we all live in different parts of the world. But I know one thing about strength. Maybe we don't agree on everything in the world, but I know one thing. There's that brotherhood there that you, I, and everybody else have really busted our can for years, for decades. We've had a lot of hardship in and out of the gym, but I will say this. the gym, and let me tell everybody this, because Bud and I were talking about that 2 weeks ago when Bud lost his father, and that was that was what the show was based on. I came to him with that idea, and it was very hard for him, but he was all for it. Don't, and I repeat, do not give up the gym no matter what's going on, because I can tell you, I can't wait to get out there tonight. I can only go so many days, even if I'm still worn, without going in there, and I'll tell you why. I feel like I'm losing my mind, and I'll tell you, and I'll tell you, that's no bull. I need that aggression. I need to go out and touch those cold plates. I need to go stand out in that snow. I need to feel like the whole world of weights is caving in on my head. Why, everybody? Because I'm going to stand up and beat it right back down, all right? If you start living like that and you listen to my pop, be a leader, not a follower, like Frank said. Sometimes life twists you and throws you into that role, and maybe you're not ready for it, but if you listen to us and you subscribe to being a full person that wants to be strong and a leader and a gentleman, someone that shows their gentleness because they have such strength, we're here with you. We are Legion, my friends. We are Legion. We are Revolution, and we are family. Nobody wants to put that out there. You know why? Because they're afraid if something doesn't go right, then they're going to be held to the carpet. You can nail my feet down to the floor. I'm going to be that way right to the bloody end. That's the way it is.
Who on earth should be able to do that?
Well, either that or, you know, you can take and super glue my feet right to the floor. I don't care. At this point, you know, Frank and I have talked offline. We all go through stuff. Frank knows some stuff that I've been dealing with a lot. I had Dr. Jeffrey Smith said to me the other day, which I hold him very dear to me. He said to me, Eric, with all the stuff I've seen you going through, he says, you're one of the toughest SOBs I've ever met in my entire life. That's coming from a 45-year-old man, not a 15-year-old. A guy that is an MD that's been around all kinds of people. And I'm very pleased he thinks of me that way. That's very important to me, because no matter what, the show will go on. No, everything will go on. You can't turn back from what you really are. And if you try, I don't know how I could live with myself, and I don't think I could. So take that all to heart, everybody. It's very important. Frank, you got anything else, or we'll wind it up?
No. I really have to leave because otherwise I cannot get my daughter to swimming. So
okay, well, we're going to wind it up right now. So for Frank Delventhal, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We'll have Frank on in March. As I say, you all have greatness, as Les Brown says, but we'll take it a little further. We believe in you, and we got your back. Everybody have a great day, great week, and do something monstrous out there. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.